How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
New York made a powerful statement, not just for the people of New York, but the people all across this nation. We reached a new level of social justice.
He is, in fact, wants to impose one point of view on everybody, namely that there's only one sort of marriage and it's genderless. And if you don't accept it, then you're a bigot.
People of all faiths are welcome in this country. Our nation was founded on a principle of religious tolerance.
You see concern about Mormonism particularly strong among white evangelical Protestants. A little bit over a third, 34%, tell us they'd be less likely to back a candidate who was Mormon.
That faucet of forgiveness needs to be wide open because God's not stingy.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Many Christians simply assume, don't they? Maybe you're one of them. You assume that when you hear a statement like one nation under God, that is a reference to the God you believe in, the triune God, the one true God. You assume that it's not a reference to other claims of godhood like Allah or other gods of other religions. You simply assume that if it's an American statement, it's a Christian statement. Well, can we assume that? There may have been a time in American history when Christians could live with that assumption. Can we still do so today, if we ever could? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 1st of July. Going into the Independence Day weekend, we're going to be talking about American civil religion and polytheism with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. A little bit later, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We play 4 Issues Etc. soundbites for you. You listen, then you call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us that tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of a chapter in the book The Anonymous God. His chapter is titled Polytheism, the New Face of American Civil Religion. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Over this weekend, there are going to be many patriotic ceremonies, patriotic services. Our listeners will doubtless attend. How can they know if they are hearing and witnessing American civil religion?
Well, they'll hear it, for example, because the name of Jesus Christ will, for the most part, not surface. It will be, as Martin E. Marty once said, a God in general. And that is particularly true when we celebrate Memorial Day weekend, the 4th of July weekend, Thanksgiving Day. It is a God in general, no specifics mentioned. And if you brought up Jesus Christ, that would get to specifics. And so he's left out because we want not to, in today's age, offend anybody by mentioning Jesus Christ. And so this is what they will commonly hear. It'll be a watered-down form of religion, a religion in general as well, that is as old as at least the Roman Empire. They practice civil religion too. We're all gods. We're honored. No one in specific. And this is where we are moving to. I might also mention in that chapter that you referred to, there was a time in American history, relatively soon after the landing of the people, the Mayflower, the Puritans, and the Pilgrims, that we moved into civil religion, but it was a deistic form of civil religion. It focused around a God, but now we have moved to a polytheistic form of religion, where it isn't just deistic. Now we invoke the name of the God of Islam, the God of the Buddhists, the God of the Confucius, and they're all put onto the same mental platform, if you will, or on the same platform of our civic holidays, such as the 4th of July.
I want to come back to that polytheistic character of modern American civil religion in just a minute, but to fill in one other detail on American civil religion in general, you've already mentioned that it lacks a specific mention of Jesus Christ. If that is the case, I assume it can have no Christian gospel content. You say it lacks an unconditional gospel.
That's correct, very much so. And, you know, the civil religion is not only present, it's most conspicuous on the 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend, but it's even conspicuous in our civic gatherings such as the service clubs. When, for example, an individual may give a prayer one weekend before they have the meal, whether it's the Rotary, the Kiwanis, or the Lions Club, they typically follow the same pattern. Someone will give an invocation, a prayer, if you will, before the meal or sometime during the meeting. Sometimes there will be a person giving it in the name of Jesus Christ. The next time it will be simply a God in general. And everybody's quite comfortable with it. And this is another reflection of civil religion. And it's becoming more and more common. So it's not just confined to the public ceremonies. It's also in these weekly or biweekly events that people have.
Now, you say that American civil religion, or that civil religion in general, dates back as far as the Romans, who had a kind of civil religion. They also had a pantheon of gods that occupied the ideals of their civil religion. We don't have a Roman pantheon, but you say in America we have a parallel to it. What is that?
Yes, the parallel is as visible. You know, they built an actual building in Rome called a pantheon, which literally in the Greek means a building of many gods. And it's very interesting in this context, too, that when early Christianity came aboard, the Romans were very willing and eager to have the Christian God, Jesus, added to the pantheons. The Christians said no. Why did they say no? Because they didn't want civil religion. They didn't want Jesus Christ to be denied as the only way of salvation. And this did not make the Christians popular. In fact, it added to their being persecuted. And so we don't have a building as such, but we have a mental building, if we will, and we basically display it in an auditory form when we have our gatherings, like I said, in the civic, perhaps in the public square, sometimes on the platform in the downtown square, where the mayor and a number of religious individuals, clergy from various denominations, all get up there and speak a watered-down religion in general, the name of Jesus Christ. And the gospel part that you mentioned is certainly not there, even if someone were sort of accidentally mentioned the name of Jesus Christ at the end of a prayer.
Did we see this? It was almost a year ago. It was late August last year that on our nation's capital's mall, there was a great gathering on August 28th led by radio talk show host and now famous Mormon Glenn Beck. And there was a lot of this kind of civil religion talk. The only specific theology on display, ironically, was Mormon theology. It was rather conspicuously on display. But a lot of Christians were there simply assuming, even asserting after the fact, that Glenn Beck was talking about their God.
That's quite right. And, you know, he's a good example of promoting civil religion. In all his talks that he gives, it's very much civil religious oriented. Well, he sort of sometimes says Christian, but he doesn't ever specify what that means. And so, and you know, and there is a sequel to this in many ways. You hear it from a lot of even good Lutherans, but not too well informed, whose children may get married and go to some other denomination. And they will say, well, at least they go to a church. See, that's another subtle form of having adopted civil religion. As long as you don't deny God outwardly, as long as you somewhat give the appearance or that you're involved in religion, that's okay. That's another side effect of our civil religion today, in addition to the ceremonies we have, in addition to the deistic prayers that we give. You know, I'm always, in a sense, very disappointed when I hear it. I hear individuals at a civic event say, "Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the meal that you have. We thank you, for example, for the fellowship we're about to enjoy. And we ask this in your name." And I sit say, I didn't hear any name. You see, a God in general is not God's name. God is a generic term. The specific name for God is Jesus Christ. And that is what we miss in civil religion.
So is the biggest danger that Christians would confuse American civil religion with Christianity?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. That is, and it's becoming more and more obvious, maybe not to the people, but it is to people like myself who've studied civil religion for 40 years. It's becoming very obvious and very pronounced. And if you were to question it, or I, in some context, we would be seen as people out of step, to say the least, if not perhaps someone who is too exclusively oriented, which is another term of saying you're bigoted.
I want to talk about the history in a second here, but let's paint a picture. You say that American civil religion today has its own terms for God. You've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Has its own theology, its own holy days, its own sayings or creeds, if you will, its own doctrines, saints, and shrines. Let's go through the list rather quickly, if we could. What are the holy days of American civil religion?
Well, the holy days are, for example, Memorial Day, July the 4th weekend, Thanksgiving Day. Those are the three most prominent ones. Sometimes we do it also on Veterans Day. So there are at least four, and sometimes we do it even at Christmas time. The name of Jesus, you know, hence there are some Christians that are conscious of it when they put up billboards and say, Jesus is the reason for the season. They're reacting to, whether they really know it or not, they're reacting to the watered-down form of civil religion.
Well, let's take a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk about the creeds of American civil religion, its statements or sayings, its doctrines, its saints, and its shrines. And then we'll talk a little bit more with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about the increasingly polytheistic nature of American civil religion and its history. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, July the 1st. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
While God has not given me a child today, He has given me the most precious gift of faith in Him. And that is what comforts me.
Christ came only for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. He comes only for the sick, not for the well. He comes only for sinners. Are you a damned sinner under the law? I hope so. You must be.
People have this image that, you know, the Pope's controlling everything and that the bishops are bossing everyone around and so on. It's like, oh my gosh, if you're not going to kick out Andrew Cuomo, who would you kick out?
Adults sometimes speak of him as though they're impossibly hard for children to learn, but I think most of the time they're projecting.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites to play for you. Then you listen and you vote. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can vote then or in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. We're talking about polytheism and American civil religion. You say also that American civil religion has its own sayings. What are the sayings you're talking about that are, I mean, they all sound very pious, but they are the creeds of American civil religion.
Well, the American creed of civil religion, for example, the Pledge of Allegiance can be seen as one. It's a type of an American creed. And again, it only talks about God in general. One nation under God. It doesn't say one nation under Jesus Christ or under God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It would never make it. And the so-called saints of American civil religion are George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, James Madison, the author of the Basic Liberty of the Constitution. These are the American saints, if you will. And I'm not the first one to point this out. Robert Bella, a famous sociologist back in the 1960s, who made it the civil religion, brought it into the American context of discussion. And even though the phenomenon is very old, the term civil religion goes back to the 1760s in France by Jean-Jacques Rousseau in his book The Social Contract. And it's also interesting, the very word religion, the Latin word for it is religare, and that means to bind together. So Rousseau was trying to have civil religion, and he advocated it, a form of a God in general, if I may use that term again, that would bind the nation together. And that's really the basic core and meaning of religion. Our meaning of religion today is somewhat different from that, but that's the origin of it. And so you see the phenomenon of civil religion. The purpose of it is it's supposed to function or serve a function of keeping us united. And that is really the core of it, and that's what's functioning in our day and age. And I might add, there is a new wrinkle to civil religion. I've mentioned this in some other contexts before, and that is relatively recent within the last particularly 50 years, although we can trace it back to about 200 years ago, and that is when we equate the word faith and religion. I have been telling people for years, please do not say the Mormon faith, the Buddhist faith, the Muslim faith. When you do that, you have immediately put all religions on the same category, on the same level. And so I don't even like the term the Christian faith. There is only one faith. That is Christianity. And that's what Paul says in his epistles, the faith, you know, ton pistis. And when people left, as some people did leave him, he didn't say they went to another faith. No, they had fallen away because there was only one faith. That equation, basically, that I've been able to determine, goes back to Schleiermacher, where, for example, faith and religion, as far as I can tell, began to become synonymous terms. Now, we speak this way more and more, and every time I hear it, I'm very uncomfortable because it's really another form of civil religion manifesting itself, saying that all religions are basically equal, and that's the core of civil religion.
Rousseau's definition is essentially that religion ought to be put in service of the civil ends. Religious vocabulary, concepts, ideas, methods and means put in service of civil, political, let's just say it for what it is, political ends. Even today in American civil religion with its polytheistic bent, does that definition essentially still hold true for American civil religion?
Yes. The only difference is that we have added many gods now. You know, even in Rousseau's day, he wasn't really talking about many gods. He was talking about a deistic concept of God, namely Christless, but he didn't think in terms of many gods. You see, the term polytheism is not often understood. It's a Greek word, as you know, meaning many gods. Poly is many, theos is God. Put the two together, you have polytheism. And so you have a new form of civil religion now that manifests itself now to terms of Allah, Buddha, Confucius, and all of them often in some civic centers will all occupy the same platform together with some Christian clergy. And we had a manifestation of that right after 9/11 when we had the gathering of a service in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. And then we had another one, for example, in South Carolina, where you had, for example, a polytheistic accent of civil religion. And that's rather, and that's a product of multiculturalism. Before multiculturalism, we spoke of civil religion in a deistic, singular, God-in-general concept. Now it's many gods that make or come onto the platform.
Why is a polytheistic form of American civil religion, such as we have now, why is it more dangerous for confessing Christians than the mere deistic form of American civil religion of the past?
I'm not quite sure it's more dangerous, but I could make the argument that it probably is, because the deists basically still believe there was a God who, there was only one God. You know, you see, even you mentioned Mormonism. You know, Mormon theology really talks about a plurality of gods. It's very clear in Joseph Smith's writing. And you know, even though many Mormons may not know or believe that, but when you have many different gods, you're basically now saying, well, that's the nature of polytheism. And you're moving away, making it, I think, more dangerous for people to forget that God is one, and a violation, even polytheism, a violation of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me, and thou shalt not worship any other god beside me. So polytheism brings, overrules that particular thing, whereas deism didn't necessarily undermine the one God concept, but polytheism does.
It immediately raises a question. We've only got a minute and a half before we need to take another break. It immediately raises the question of whether or not Christians can in good conscience participate in the acts, rites, ceremonies, services of American civil religion, given that it is decidedly polytheistic.
I would say no, and we have not only biblical precedent for that, for example, from the Gospels themselves, Jesus' own words, and we have the example of the Christians for the least first 300 years. They did not worship with the Romans. As I said earlier, the Romans were all too eager to add Jesus to the pantheon. They said, no, no way. And so Christians cannot, should not participate in civil religion concepts or be, you know, a part of it in terms of any giving credence to it.
Does that mean Christians can't be patriots?
No, I don't think so at all. In fact, the Rome, if you want to take the early Christians again, they were accused of that very same thing too. And they said, we are very patriotic. We pray for the emperor, even though he persecutes us, we pray for him. And likewise today, we as Christians are not unpatriotic. Maybe those who do not participate in the civil religious forms are maybe more patriotic than those who do.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College. He's authored a chapter in the book, The Anonymous God. Dr. Schmidt's chapter is titled Polytheism, The New Face of American Civil Religion. By the way, you can purchase The Anonymous God by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for The Anonymous God by our guest in this hour, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. In about 10 minutes, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We want you to listen, and then we want you to vote for Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, we'll continue our conversation on polytheism and American civil religion. A question or comment on American civil religion going into this Independence Day weekend? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page. Vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Monday on the program, we'll get a biography of first century Jewish historian Flavius Josephus. Dr. Paul Meyer will be our guest. Dr. Schmidt, before we go to the break with about 30 seconds, are you saying that Christians can't say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing God Bless America or any of those things?
No, I think they can, but they have to be aware of what they're doing. Namely, that they aren't influenced by thinking that Jesus Christ is not part of the Trinity, if you will. And you see, I think we have, as Christians, as Lutherans, have done a very poor job of educating people what is civil religion. If you were to ask the average Lutheran faithful member what civil religion is, I'm sure he would be blinking and asking, what are you talking about? And we need to. We need to inform our people how civil religion operates. And I could say the Pledge of Allegiance, but and be aware of the danger if I do not say it in an informed manner and just go with the social, cultural flow. That's where we have to be careful. And if I should, in the process, be giving offense to some Christian, I would then not do it.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. We're talking about polytheism and American civil religion. For a few more minutes on the other side of this break, then Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A profile in ethics.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Dr. Eduardo Marban of the Cedars-Sinai Heart Institute of Los Angeles is helping to lead the fight against heart disease, which is the number one killer of both men and women in America. Dr. Marban has started taking heart tissue from patients and using it to grow heart stem cells. These cells are then injected back into the patient and have thus far helped to produce healthy heart muscle. Dr. Marban, who escaped from Cuba with his parents as a child, said his Catholic faith led him to pursue this procedure, which avoids destroying human embryos.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about polytheism and American civil religion. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. Dr. Schmidt, I'm wondering what comes next. You're obviously an historian and not a prophet, but if we've gone from a merely deistic American civil religion, where and now are decidedly a polytheistic American civil religion, what do you think lies in the future in the realm of American civil religion?
That's a very good question. I don't know how you can go much farther than polytheism. All I could see is that you would maybe add more gods to it. I really think that's about all that could happen. And, of course, it's a very dangerous thing to happen when all gods are put on the same level and equated. And that's what I meant a little while ago when we use the word faith as a synonym to religion. You know, I often say to people, if a fish could think, the last thing a fish would discover is water. The last thing we discover is the water of culture, how it shapes our language, and in the process frequently undermines the very Christian beliefs and doctrines that we hold to. And here's an example of when we equate faith as with all religions, and we will continue to speak this way. And there are other ways that culture undermines, for example, our understanding of religion. I hear it again and again in a very un-Lutheran, very un-Western traditional manner when we equate, we use the word sanctuary for the entire church building. That is not Lutheran, and that is not how the Christians spoke. The sanctuary is the altar and the pulpit in front, not the entire building. But now I can go to Lutheran churches and they'll say, this way to the sanctuary. They mean, for example, the narthex, the nave, as well as the chancel or the sanctuary. But that is a relatively recent term, and it's another form of putting religion together in some generic form or manner, undermining, basically, our distinctive meanings and distinction of those terms. The reason we call in the Lutheran Church the sanctuary, the altar, and the pulpit, because that's where God's word, the sanctus, is read and heard. It doesn't come from the pulpit, from the pew. It comes from the pulpit. It comes from the lectern. It comes at the altar with the Lord's Supper. This is why the many general Protestants celebrate the communion in the pew, because the pew is as valid as is the altar, the sanctuary in front. And we have lost this. I was at a recent pastoral conference where one pastor spoke, and three times within 10 minutes he used the word sanctuary for the church building. You see, the theology of the culture, and we get that from our culture, and it undermines it, and we're not even aware of it. And that's what we have to, it's another wrinkle to civil religion, I would argue.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College. He's author of a chapter in the book, The Anonymous God. His chapter's titled Polytheism, the New Face of American Civil Religion. Dr. Schmidt, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you again, and I hope you do have a good 4th of July.